Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 154, and I'm recording this on the evening of August 6th, 2008. Wow, it's hard to believe that it is already August. I know for many of you, school is right around the corner if it's not here already. We start back on the 12th of August, and students come back on the 19th, so we're in full swing. We've had quite a few meetings at school this week and last week, so I've already been up in my classroom a couple times getting things ready. But today, I wanted to talk about something that I did a couple weeks ago, and that was attend the International Teacher Space Camp in Huntsville, Alabama. And this is something that's been on the schedule for a while as one of the Teacher of the Year activities, and I really didn't know what to expect from International Teacher Space Camp, and I tried to kind of keep a really open mind about it, and I ended up having an absolute blast. It was down in Huntsville, Alabama, at the Rocket and Space Center, and the cool thing about it was they had all the state teachers of the year together, but then they brought in about 30 teachers from around the world. So, for example, on my particular mission team, we had Akalika from Greece. We had Laszlo from Hungary. We had teachers from, Belgium, Singapore, all over the place. And so it was a great experience to be able to learn from them as well as learn the science and, about NASA and stuff like that. So the entire week was just jam-packed of activities. We were down there for 7 days, and we were able to listen to several amazing astronauts. We listened to Hute Gibson, Story Musgrave, Ed Buckby, the guy that basically started Space Camp, and then we also were able to listen to the mother of Krista McAuliffe, Grace Corrigan, and some amazing speakers. We're able to listen to two of the original German rocket scientists. One of the gentlemen was 96 years old and is sharper today than I'll probably ever be during my entire life. So just an amazing opportunity to really talk to people, listen to people, learn more about NASA and about the space program. Learned a lot about their next mission, which is really going to Mars, landing a person on Mars and returning those people back. And did a lot of stuff with the space shuttle. They put us into different mission teams, and they trained us on how to do a particular task during the mission, and then we ran through that entire mission. Each mission lasts about 2 hours. And the first time that I was running the mission, I was one of the people on the International Space Station, and we did experiments on the space station that were kind of scripted. And then myself and the gentleman from Denmark went out and we did a spacewalk. So they put us in suits, and I believe I'll put a picture of us in those suits up on the blog, but they put us up in the suits, and we had like the helmet on, and then we're in this special chair that allows us to kind of simulate being weightless in space. So we can move in, like, I believe it was 5 different dimensions. And so we had to build a structure, like if they were putting maybe a telescope or something on the space station. So we had to build the structure while we were in the suits and, communicate with each other and stuff like that. So that's what I did on the first mission. On the second mission, I was in mission control, and I was the person in mission control that was giving instructions to the astronauts that we had outside the space shuttle that were working on the Hubble. And again, these two individuals were in their spacesuits. They had communication through a microphone and through headphones inside the helmet, and then I had to tell them like which parts to fix and stuff like that. So that was really cool because I had never really been able to experience what it was like to be on a space shuttle mission, and I feel like I have some kind of idea of some of the technical aspects. And there are people flying the orbiter, there are people in mission control, and the simulators are just like the simulators that they use when they're training the astronauts. So it's very real. They have like hydraulics in the one that we used the second time, so that when you land and stuff, the actual orbiter or the simulator moves, and you can like look out the window and you can see exactly what they'd be seeing as they came in and landed and stuff like that. So that was really, really interesting. We did a lot of stuff with science. We did stuff with rockets. We did stuff where we built our own rocket and launched it. And we talked about, you know, what different things you could do to make that, you know, go higher and, you know, stuff like that. We also did some stuff on building some heat shields for reentry, and we each had a little simulation where we had to see how long we could hold the heat shield on without it falling off with like a blowtorch and stuff like that. So we got to do some hands-on things there. We talked about how they were going to launch and then land a craft on the surface of Mars, and so we looked at several designs and we had to create our own parachute design and secure an egg and drop it off, you know, two-story building and make sure that it survived and all that kind of stuff. So even though I don't teach science, it was very interesting and some stuff I can definitely bring back to the classroom. But really for myself as a participant at Space Camp, I think the thing that made it so interesting, besides just being able to talk to all these individuals, was number one, that I kind of got out of my comfort zone a little bit. They do some simulations there where they, you know, strap you into a chair and you do like a multi-axis thing. So they spin you around. If you've ever seen, like on the movie Space Camp, or if you've ever watched anything where they train the astronauts, they spin you around in different directions to kind of check, you know, for balance and all that kind of stuff. And I did that, and it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I got sick or anything, but that was kind of something a little bit out of what I would typically do. They also had several simulations where you're coming out of a airplane and you're on a parachute. And so they have a lake where they do these things where you climb up to the top of this tower, probably about like 3 or 4 stories, and you have a harness on and there's like a zip line. And so you kind of just sail down and it's supposed to simulate, you know, falling into the ocean after you've, you know, left your airplane, and then you land in the water. And it goes pretty slow, but I don't really like heights, and I'm not a huge water fan, and so that was something that was optional, and I decided to do it, and I was really glad that I was able to do that. They also put you in a simulated helicopter, and then they sink that helicopter in the lake, and then you have to swim out. And you've got helmets and life jackets on and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, basically practicing how to get out of a helicopter if it would land in a body of water and then swim to safety. So I did that. And then probably the biggest thing that I did that was a little bit out of my comfort zone is they have a space shot, kind of, I guess, like what a roller coaster would be, right there on the campus at the Rocket and Space Center. So they have these at various amusement parks where you're sitting in a seat and you've got a harness on your chest, and then it's supposed to simulate a space launch. And it actually gets you up to about 4 G's as a simulation. And you go straight up and then you just kind of gradually come back down. And I don't typically like roller coasters or rides and stuff like that, but I wanted to kind of experience that launching sensation. So we did it once, and somebody took a video while we're doing it, and it wasn't that bad. And so then I decided to go a second time, and I purchased a flip camera before I came to Space Camp, just actually a couple of days before I went to Space Camp. And a flip camera, for those of you that aren't familiar, it takes video, and it's kind of a small little thing about the size of a digital camera, I guess. And so the second time that I went on the space shot, I held that, and then I went straight up, and I just kind of held it in front of me, and I took a video of what it looks like when you're actually on the space shot. So I did that twice, and again, something I probably typically wouldn't do. And so, you know, it was kind of neat to kind of do something that was a little bit out there. And for most people, it'd be a very, very small thing to go on the space shot or to, you know, do the aviation challenge and stuff. But for me, I was kind of proud of myself that I did something that I typically would not do. The second thing that was most beneficial about Space Camp was that I got to feel a little bit more of what it was like to be a student that maybe wasn't familiar with the content as much. So, you know, for example, we were in a workshop where we were learning about rockets and things like that. And, you know, it's important for teachers, I think, to remember what it's like to be a student when you really don't know what the subject matter is, you're not familiar with the subject matter. And a lot of teachers had the same comment, that it was kind of cool to, you know, be in the role of a true student again and go through that experience of, not knowing what's going to happen, and trying to make connections to your real life and stuff like that. But just an amazing week. All the teachers of the year have pretty much been together now for about 2 or 3 weeks in total time when you look at all the different activities we've done. But the addition of the other 30 or so international educators was really neat because we were able to sit down at lunch and talk to the teacher from Singapore about their education system, talk to the person from Australia about, you know, differences in their curriculum and what they teach. And it's just like any conference, you've got these formal time periods where you do a workshop or you're listening to a speaker, but then the amazing part happens when you sit down for lunch or, you know, you're waiting in line to get on the bus to go back to the campus or, you know, stuff like that. And the discussions throughout the entire week were, you know, politics and education and, you know, different aspects of what we do in our classrooms and differences in countries. And it was just a really cool week. In fact, we had one night where almost all of us went over to a local karaoke place and, you know, you look out across the karaoke bar and you see people singing songs together from, you know, 5 or 6 different countries, and everybody had a great time. And, you know, I think if you could put all the leaders of the world in a karaoke bar and have everybody just kind of relax a little bit, it's amazing what different perceptions you have of people and stuff. So that's kind of a bad analogy there. But the amazing part was that all these educators were together, and we all do the same thing. We just do it on different continents. We do it in different places. And we got to share a lot of different ideas. So I'm going to put up some pictures of Space Camp. I'm also going to put up some video. I'm going to talk a little bit about the flip camera specifically in an upcoming podcast. But I do have some flip video of some of the things that we did at camp. So I'm going to put that up. And if you have any interest in space or, you know, a student that has an interest in space, I definitely encourage you to check out the link that I'll put on there for Space Camp. They have all kinds of teacher space camps. They've got ones for students that have special needs, ones you know, for students that have you know, disabilities. They have ones for father son and, you know, father daughter, mother daughter, things like that. So definitely check out the link. But I had a great time. I learned a lot about Huntsville and their history behind the whole rocket program and how they basically built the entire Saturn V there in Huntsville, and just had a really good week. So check it out. Thanks for listening to Speaking of History. I have quite a few ideas that I want to go through in the next couple days before school starts, so hopefully I'll get some time here and I'll do some podcasts. But school is definitely just around the bend, and I wish all of you a great school year. I'm very excited for the new school year to start, and I'm sure many of you are too. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.